వక్రతుండ మహాకాయ సూర్యకోటి సమప్రభ నిర్విఘ్నం కురు మే దేవ సర్వకార్యషు సర్వదా. శివశక్త్యాయుక్తో యది భవతి శక్తః ప్రభవితుం న చేదేవం దేవో న ఖలు కుశలః స్పందితుమపి. అథ స్వామారాధ్య హరిహర విరించాదిభిరపి ప్రణంతుం స్తోతుం వా కతమకృత పుణ్యః ప్రభవతి.
Shri Sai Ram. At the outset, my most loving and prayerful salutations at the lotus feet of our dear Lord Sai, most beloved Bhagwan Shri Satya Sai Baba. Dear listener, you are tuned to Radio Sai Global Harmony on Asia Stream, bringing you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, the love and the message of Bhagwan Shri Satya Sai Baba. Good morning. Greetings and loving Sai Ram on this Thursday, the 26th of March 2020, and with me Team Radio Sai Sunil welcoming you to this morning's segment, Divine Glory on Thursday Live from Prashantinilayam. Today, the world is gripped in fear, suffering and deaths caused by the spread of the coronavirus or the COVID-19. Let us all take precautions mandated by the government and the health department, like social distancing, and maintain purity like personal and community hygiene, and also let us all engage in collective prayers. In mitigating the pain and suffering caused by the spread of the COVID-19, we'll be having collective prayers for global well-being, titled Sarve Bhavantu Sukhinaha. Do also join us in these online prayer sessions by tuning in to Asia Stream or Radio Sai YouTube channel today at 10:30 to 11:30 a.m. and also in the evening 6:45 p.m. to 7:45 p.m. Indian Standard Time. Dear listener, let me now read out to you today's Sai Inspires message. At times, we are discouraged with what we see around and earnestly feel that sincere devotion, peace and truth should grow in the world. What should we do? Bhagwan lovingly guides us today, and I quote, "Prayers of the noble and virtuous act as an invitation even for the advent of the Lord. In the external world, when common people need conveniences, they approach authorities and request them. Similarly, in the internal realm, when there is no possibility of achieving and acquiring devotion, charity, peace and truth, noble and virtuous who yearn for these to grow pray to the Lord. Then, listening to their prayers, He Himself comes and showers His grace. This fact is well known. Many would have read in the Ramayana and Bhagavata. Didn't Rama and Krishna incarnate because the Lord heeded to the prayers of the sages? Even Saint Ramakrishna, though divinely born, prayed to Goddess Kali to send someone who could preach to the world the code of conduct or dharma that would uproot injustice and selfishness. Hence, prayers should be offered again and again for the fulfillment of this task without becoming desperate and giving up, even if they don't yield results immediately. Unquote. This was taken from Prema Vahini, chapter 70. Dear listener, the time right now in our studios is 53 minutes past 9 a.m. that is Indian Standard Time. And today in Divine Glory, I've lined up for you readings from the English version of the holy book Sri Sai Satcharitra, written by Sri Hemant Pant, followed by the second part of a conversation with Dr. Sunil Menon, a medical officer serving at the Sri Satya Sai General Hospital here at Puttaparthi. But that conversation will be played later at 11:30 a.m. because from 10:30 to 11:30, we'll be having the collective prayer session or the collective prayers for global well-being titled Sarve Bhavantu Sukhinaha. But first, readings from Sri Sai Satcharitra. Sri Sai Satcharitra is an account on the life and teachings of Sai Baba of Shirdi, written by Sri Hemant Pant. We are thankful to Vasanthi Sundaram for reading out the contents from this holy book and to Veeramani Kannan for the melodious musical support. Wishing you all a holy and blessed Thursday and a wonderful day ahead. Praying to the Lord Almighty that the pandemic caused by the coronavirus be eradicated and the suffering come to an end at the earliest. Samasta loka sukhino bhavantu. And here it is for your listening pleasure.
Chapter 11, Sai Asagun Brahma, Dr. Pandit's Worship, Haji Siddiq Phalke, Control Over the Elements. Let us now in this chapter describe the manifested Brahma Sai as to how he was worshipped and how he controlled the elements. Sai Asagun Brahma. There are two aspects of God or Brahma, the unmanifested Nirgun and the manifested Sagun. The Nirgun is formless, while the Sagun is with form, though both denote the same Brahma. Some prefer to worship the former and some the latter. As stated in the Gita, the worship of the latter is easy and preferable. As man has got a form, body and senses, it is natural and easy for him to worship the God with form. Our love and devotion do not develop unless we worship Sagun Brahma for a certain period of time. And as we advance, it leads us to the worship of Nirgun Brahma. So, let us start with Sagun worship. Image, altar, fire, light, sun, water. Brahma are the seven objects of worship. But Sadguru is better than all of these. Let us on this occasion bring to our mind the form of Sai, who was non-attachment incarnate and who was a resting place for his devotees. Our faith in his words is the asan, and our sankalp is the abandonment of all our desires. Some say Sai was a Bhagavad Bhakt, devotee of the Lord. Others say he was a Mahabhagavat, a great devotee. But to us, he is God incarnate. He was ever forgiving, never irritable, straight, soft, tolerant and content beyond comparison. Though he looked unembodied, he was really disembodied, emotionless, unattached and internally free. The Ganges on its way to the sea cools and refreshes the creatures affected with heat, gives life to the crops and trees and quenches the thirst of many. Similarly, saints like Sai, while they live their own life, give solace and comfort to all. Lord Krishna has said, "The saint is my soul, my living image. I am he, or he is my pure form." This indescribable Shakti or power of God, known as pure existence, knowledge and bliss incarnated in the form of Sai in Shirdi. The Shruti, Taittiriya Upanishad, describes Brahma as pure bliss. This we read or hear daily in the books, but the devout people experiences Brahma or bliss in Shirdi. Baba, the support of all, required no prompt or asan from anybody. He always used a piece of sackcloth for a seat, which was covered with a small mattress by his bhaktas and had a bolster placed by them for resting his back. Baba respected the feelings of his devotees and allowed them to worship him as they liked. Some waved chamar or fans before him, some played on musical instruments, some washed his hands and feet, while the others applied scent and chandan. Some even gave him betel nut with leaves, and the others offered naivedya. Though he looked like living in Shirdi, he was present everywhere. This all-pervasiveness of his was daily experienced by his devotees. A humble prostration to this all-pervasive Sadguru. Dr. Pandit's worship. One Dr. Pandit, a friend of Tata Sahib Nulkar, once came to Shirdi for Sai Baba's darshan. After saluting Baba, he sat in the masjid for some time. Baba asked him to go to Dada Bhai Khelkar. He went to Dada Bhai, by whom he was well received. Then, Dada Bhai left his house for puja and Dr. Pandit accompanied him. Dada Bhai worshipped Baba. Nobody until then dared to apply sandal paste to Baba's forehead. Only Mahasapati used to apply to his throat. But this simple-hearted Dr. Pandit took Dada Bhai's dish containing puja materials and, taking chandan out of it, drew a tripund, three horizontal lines on Baba's forehead. To the surprise of all, Baba kept silent without uttering a single word. Then, Dada Bhai that evening asked Baba, "How is it that though you object to the sandal paste being applied by others to your forehead, you allow Dr. Pandit to do so?" Baba replied, "Dr. Pandit believed him to be the same as his guru, Raghunath Maharaj of Dhopeshwar, known as Kaka Puranik, and he applied the paste to his forehead as he was doing to his guru. Hence, he could not object." On inquiry, Dr. Pandit told Dada Bhai that he took Baba as his guru Kaka Puranik and realized him as the same. Hence, he marked the tripund on Baba's forehead as he did on his guru's. Though Baba allowed the devotees to worship him as they pleased, still sometimes he acted in a strange way. Sometimes he threw away the puja dish and was wrath incarnate. Then who could approach him? Sometimes he scolded the devotees. At times he looked softer than wax, a statue of peace and forgiveness. Though he seemed to shake with anger and his red eyes rolled round, still he was internally an ocean of affection and motherly love. He would call out his devotees and say that he never knew when he was ever angry with them. If it was possible that mothers could kick their children and the sea turn back the river, he too could neglect the devotees' welfare, that he, the slave of his devotees, always stood by them and responded to them whenever they called upon him, and that he always longed for their love. Haji Siddiq Phalke. There was no knowing as to when Baba would accept a devotee. That depended on his will. Siddiq Phalke's story is to the point. One Muslim gentleman by name Siddiq Phalke of Kalyan, after making pilgrimage to Mecca and Medina, came to Shirdi. He lived in the Chawdi facing north and sat in the open courtyard of the masjid. For 9 months Baba ignored him and did not allow him to step into the masjid. Phalke felt very sad and did not know what to do. Somebody advised him not to be disappointed, but to try to approach Baba through Shama, a close and intimate devotee of Baba. He told him that as they approached the Lord Shiva through the servant and devotee Nandi, so should Baba be approached through Shama. Phalke liked the idea and implored Shama to intercede for him. Shama agreed and on an convenient occasion spoke to Baba about him thus, "Baba, why don't you allow the old Haji to step into your masjid while so many persons freely come and go after taking your darshan? Why not bless him once?" Baba replied, "Shama, you are immature to understand these things. If the Allah does not allow, what can I do? Without his grace, who will climb into the masjid? Well, go to him and ask him whether he will come to the narrow footpath near the Barwi well." Shama went and returned with an affirmative answer. Again Baba said to Shama, "Ask him whether he is willing to pay me the sum of 40,000 rupees in 4 installments. Shama went and returned with the answer that he was willing to pay even 40 lakhs. Again Baba said to Shama, we are going to cut a goat in the masjid, so ask him whether he'd like to have its meat haunch or testicles of the goat. Shama returned with the answer that the Haji would be happy to receive a small crumb from Baba's mud pot. Hearing this, Baba got excited and with his hands threw away the earthen jars and the mud pot and straightaway advanced to the Haji and lifted his kafni up in the arms and said, "Why do you brag and pose yourself as an old Haji? Do you read Quran like this? You are proud of your pilgrimage to Mecca, but you do not know me." Being thus scolded, the Haji was confounded. Baba then went back to the masjid, purchased a basket of mangoes and sent them to the Haji. Then again Baba went to the Haji and taking out 55 rupees from his pocket, gave them in the Haji's hand. From then Baba loved the Haji, invited him for meals and the Haji thereafter came into the masjid whenever he liked. Baba gave him at times some rupees and thus Haji was enrolled into Baba's darbar. Baba's control over the elements. We shall close this chapter after describing two incidents showing Baba's control over the elements. Once at evening time, there was a terrible storm at Shirdi. The sky was overcast with thick black clouds. The winds began to blow with great force. The clouds roared and the lightning began to flash and the rain started pouring in torrents. In a short time, the whole place was flooded with water. All the creatures, birds, beasts and men got terribly frightened and they all flocked to the masjid for shelter. There are many local deities in Shirdi, but none of them came to the rescue. So they all prayed to Baba, their god, who was fond of their devotion, to intercede and quell the storm. Baba was much moved. He came out and standing at the edge of the masjid, address the storm in a loud and thunderous voice. "Stop! Stop your fury and be calm!" In a few minutes, the rains subsided. The winds ceased to blow and the storm came to a stop. The moon rose in the sky and the people went back home well pleased. On another occasion at noon, the fire in the dhuni began to burn brightly. Its flames were reaching the rafters above. The people who were sitting in the masjid did not know what to do. They dared not ask Baba to pour water or do anything to quench the flames. But Baba soon came to realize what was happening. He took up his sadaka and dashed it against a pillar in front saying, "Get down and be calm." At each stroke of the sadaka, the flames began to slow down and in a few minutes the dhuni became calm and normal. This is Asai, an incarnation of God. He will bless any man who will prostrate and surrender himself to him. He who will read the stories of this chapter daily with faith and devotion will soon be free from all calamities and they'll be always attached and devoted to Sai. He will get very soon God vision. All his desires will be fulfilled and he will be ultimately desireless and attain the supreme. Amen. Bow to Sri Sai. Peace be to all. Chapter 12. Sai Leelas, Experiences of Kaka Mahajani, Dhumal Pleader, Mrs. Nimonkar, Mule Shastri, a Doctor. Now let us see in this chapter how devotees were received and treated by Baba. Saints' Mission. We have seen before that the purpose or object of divine incarnation is to protect the good and destroy the wicked. But the mission of the saints is quite different. To them, the good and the wicked are the same. First, they draw the evildoers and set them on the right path. They are the Agasthi to destroy the Bhavasagar or the sun to destroy the darkness of ignorance. The God dwells in the saints. In fact, they are not different from him. Asai is one of these, who incarnated for the welfare of the devotees. Supreme in knowledge and surrounded by divine aura. He loved all beings equally. He was unattached. Foes and friends, kings and paupers, all were the same to him. For the sake of devotees, he gave a stock of merits and was ever alert to help them. But the devotees could never approach him unless he meant to receive them. If their appointed time did not come, they did not remember Baba, and his leelas could not reach their ears. Then how could they even think of him? Some men desired to see Sai Baba, but they did not get any opportunity of taking his darshan till his Mahasamadhi. There are many such persons whose desire for Baba's darshan was not satisfied. If these persons, believing in him, listen to his leelas, their quest for darshan will be to a great extent satisfied by those leelas. Even if some persons went there by sheer luck and took Baba's darshan, were they able to stay there longer? No. Nobody could go there of his own accord, and no one could stay there longer if he did not wish so. They could stay there so long as Baba permitted them to stay, and had to leave the place when asked to do so by him. So everything depended on Baba's divine will. Kaka Mahajani. Once Kaka Mahajani went to Shirdi from Mumbai. He wanted to stay there for 1 week and enjoy the Gokulashtami festival. As soon as he took Baba's darshan, Baba asked him, "So, when are you returning home?" Kaka Mahajani was rather surprised at the question, but he had to give an answer. He said he would go home when Sai Baba ordered him to do so. Then Baba said, "Go tomorrow." Baba's word was law and had to be obeyed. Kaka Mahajani therefore left Shirdi immediately. When he went to his office in Mumbai, he found his employer anxiously waiting for him. His Munim, the manager, had suddenly fallen ill, hence Kaka's presence was absolutely necessary. He had sent a letter to Kaka at Shirdi, which was then redirected to him at Mumbai. Bhausaheb Dhumal. Now listen to another story. Once, Bhausaheb Dhumal was going to Niphad for a case. On the way, he came to Shirdi, took Baba's darshan, and wanted to proceed to Niphad immediately. But Baba did not permit him to do so. He made him stay at Shirdi for a week or more. In the meanwhile, the magistrate at Niphad suffered intensely from pain in his abdomen, and the case was adjourned. Mr. Dhumal was then allowed to go and attend to his case. It went on for some months and was tried by 4 magistrates. Ultimately, Mr. Dhumal won the case and his client was acquitted. Mrs. Nimonkar. Mr. Nana Saheb Nimonkar, Watandar of Nimon, an honorary magistrate, was staying at Shirdi with his wife. Mr. and Mrs. Nimonkar were spending most of the time in the masjid with Baba and serving him. It so happened that their son fell ill at Belapur, and the mother decided with Baba's consent to go to Belapur and see her son and other relatives and stay there for a few days. But Mr. Nana Saheb asked her to return the next day. The lady was in a fix. She did not know what to do. But her god Sai came to her help. While leaving Shirdi, she went back to Baba, who was standing in front of Sathe's Wada with Mr. Nana Saheb and the others. She prostrated at his feet and asked his permission to go. Baba said to her, "Go, go quickly. Be calm and unperturbed. Stay comfortably at Belapur for 4 days. See all your relatives and then return to Shirdi." How opportune were Baba's words. Mr. Nana Saheb's proposal was overruled by Baba's decree. Mule Shastri of Nasik. An orthodox Agnihotri Brahmin of Nasik, Mule Shastri, who had studied the six Shastras and was well versed in astrology and palmistry, once came to Shirdi to see Mr. Bapu Saheb Bhutti, the famous millionaire of Nagpur. After seeing him, he and the others went to see Baba in the masjid. Baba brought various fruits and other things from vendors with his own money and distributed them to the people present in the masjid. Baba used to press the mango on all sides so skillfully that when he sucked it, he got all the pulp at once in his mouth and could throw away the seed. Plantains were peeled off by Baba and the pulp was distributed to the devotees, while the skins were retained by Baba for himself. Mule Shastri, as a palmist, wanted to examine Baba's palm and asked him to extend his hand. Baba ignored the request and gave him 4 plantains. Then they all returned to the Wada and Muleshwa Sri had his bath, wore fresh clothes and started his routine duties of Agnihotra, etc. Then Baba as usual started for Lendi and said, "Take some Geru." Geru is a red, miry substance used to dye clothes in saffron color. Baba said, "We shall today don saffron colored clothes." No one understood what Baba meant. Then after some time, when Baba returned and preparations for the noon aarti were being made, Bapu Sahib Jog asked Mule Shastri whether he would accompany him for the aarti. Mule Shastri replied he would see Baba in the afternoon. Baba sat on his seat, was worshipped by the devotees, and aarti commenced. Then Baba said, "Get some dakshina from that new Nasik Brahmin." Bhuti himself went to the Vada to get the dakshina, and when he gave Baba's message to Mule Shastri, he was sorely perplexed. He thought in his mind, "I am a pure Agnihotri Brahmin. Why should I pay dakshina? Baba may be a great saint. I am not his dependent." But since a great saint like Sai Baba was asking for dakshina through a millionaire like Bhuti, he could not refuse. So leaving his routine unfinished, he started with Bhuti for masjid. Thinking himself holy and the masjid otherwise, he remained at a distance, and after joining his palms, threw flowers at Baba from there. Then lo, all of a sudden, he saw not Baba, but his late Guru Gholap Swami there. He was wonderstruck. Could this be a dream? No, it was not, as he was wide awake. But how could his late Guru Gholap be there? He was speechless for some time. He pinched himself and thought again, but could not reconcile the fact of his late Guru Gholap being in the masjid. Ultimately, leaving aside all doubt, he went up, fell at his Guru's feet, and then stood there with folded hands. Other people sang Baba's aarti, while Mule Shastri chanted loudly his Guru's name. Then, casting off all pride of caste and sacredness, he fell at his Guru's feet and closed his eyes. When he got up and opened his eyes, he saw Baba asking for dakshina. Seeing Baba's blissful form and his inconceivable power, Mule Shastri forgot himself. He was extremely pleased. His eyes were full of tears of joy. He again saluted Baba and gave the dakshina. He said that his doubt was removed and he saw his own Guru. On seeing this wonderful leela of Baba, all the people, including Mule Shastri, were much moved, and they realized the meaning of Baba's words, "Bring Geru, we shall don saffron-colored cloth." Such is a wonderful leela of Baba. A doctor. Once a Mamlatdar came to Shirdi with a doctor friend of his. The doctor said his deity was Ram and that he would not bow before a Muslim, and so he was unwilling to go to Shirdi. The Mamlatdar replied that nobody would be forced to bow down, so he should come and give the pleasure of his company. Accordingly, they reached Shirdi and went to the masjid for Baba's darshan. All were wonderstruck to see the doctor going ahead and saluting Baba. They asked him how he forgot his resolve and bowed down to a Muslim. The doctor replied that he saw his beloved deity Ram on the seat and he therefore prostrated himself before him. Then, as he began saying this, he again saw Sai Baba there. Being dismayed, he again said, "Is this a dream? How could he be a Muslim? He is a great yoga sampan avatar." Next day, he made a vow and began to fast. He stayed away from the masjid, resolving not to go there until Baba blessed him. 3 days passed, and on the fourth day, a close friend of his from Khandesh turned up, and with him he went to the masjid for Baba's darshan. After the salutation, Baba asked him whether anybody had gone to call him, so he had come. Hearing this vital question, the doctor was moved. The same night, he was blessed by Baba, and he experienced the bliss supreme in his sleep. Then, he left for his town, where he remained in the same state for a fortnight. Thus, his devotion for Baba increased manyfold. The moral of all these stories mentioned above, especially that of Mule Shastri, is that we should have firm faith in our Guru and no one else. More leelas of Sai Baba will be described in the next chapter. Bow to Sri Sai. Peace be to all. Chapter 13. More Sai Leelas. Diseases cured. Bhimaji Patil, Bala Shimpi, Bapu Saheb Bhuti, Alandi Swami, Kaka Mahajani, Dattopant of Harda. The inscrutable power of Maya. Baba's words were always short, deep, full of meaning, effective and well balanced. He was ever content and never cared for anything. He said, "Though I am a fakir, have no house or wife, and though leaving off all care, I stay at one place. The inevitable Maya teases me often. Though I forget myself, she cannot forget me. She always envelops me. This Maya of the Lord harasses even Lord Brahma and others. Then what to speak of a poor fakir like me? Those who take refuge in the God will be freed from her clutches with His grace." In such terms, Baba spoke about the power of Maya. Lord Sri Krishna has said to Uddhava in the Bhagavat that the saints are his living forms. And see what Baba has said for the welfare of his devotees. "Those who are fortunate and whose demerits have vanished, take to my worship. If you always say Sai, Sai, I shall take you over the seven seas. Believe in these words and you will certainly be benefited. I do not need any paraphernalia of worship, either eightfold or sixteenfold. I rest there where there is full devotion." Now listen to what Sai did for the welfare of those who surrendered themselves to him.
Sai Guru Var ki Paramanand Sada to Sai.
Spend the day with Sai.
From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m.
on Radio Sai's Thursday Live.
Radio Sai.